Sairam, dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang. It's now time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live. And this is Ganesh from the Sri Satya Sai Media Center, Prashantirilliam. Along with me is Brother Bhargav, Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
To take you across to one more new episode of the Veda Jignasa program. And collectively, we shall offer our pranams at his lotus feet. And with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is his inspiration, we shall commence today's episode with the Ganapati Pradhana Mantram.
Gananantva Ganapati Gumhavamahe Kavim Kavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvannotibhissidasadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So Bhargav, as we proceed in the quest for finding out what exactly is true wealth,
yeah,
a small thought triggered in my mind. When we talk of quest, in the process of making this journey, finding out something,
yes,
it's very common, or it's a natural tendency for questions to arise in our mind.
Correct.
So, as per our request, one of our dear listeners has written a beautiful question,
yeah,
which is related to the episode that we had discussed about in the
last
week's class, about Alakshmi and how surrendering of ourselves at Bhagawan's lotus feet, at the Divine Mother's lotus feet, will eradicate the Alakshmi.
And when you say surrender, is it that you have to surrender your whole wealth to Mother, or is there a golden rule or something which Swami has suggested which we can follow in life? Okay, can we read the comment of...
Surely. So first of all, at the outset, we should, I think, thank this dear listener for having written to us. This is a very, very deep thought with which she had written this question.
And not only Ganesh, I think this is something which is a burning question in all our minds.
Exactly.
What is... when you read it, we'll come to know about it.
So first of all, thanks to Mrs. Vijayalakshmi for writing to us, and the question is as follows. Sairam, I have a question on today's discourse on Lakshmi and Alakshmi on the Vedas. It is very nice sharing of thoughts and learning from Baba and his beloved students. I too feel good when I give any kind of wealth that I have unconditionally to those in need. I would love to give a lot of it. I am sure many more would do like me. But the reason behind why people are restraining themselves from giving is because everyone is worried about the uncertainty that future would present to them in the form of ill health, unexpected expenses, a rise in cost of living, dependency of dear ones on them. Shouldn't one be worried about saving for future? Today, I might have enough, but we do not know what will be the future state. Lot of poor people who couldn't save, we can see their poor plight in this COVID times. Had they been able to save, wouldn't they have been more comfortable to face the prevailing condition? People tend to hoard because no one knows how much will be required for future.
Yes.
How much money would be enough is not known to us. If I know this magic number, then maybe if I could save that much, then I would happily part away with the excess that I have. I would not want to part away lot of it today and land myself tomorrow in a borrower's role. Lakshmi is dear to everyone. People don't like to part with their hard-worked money, which they feel they will need tomorrow. Please do share your views on this aspect. And when this madam is talking about the magic number, I think Swami has a solution for every one of our questions.
Yes.
And the quest is being made more smoother.
Yes.
So, can we know the magic number, Bhargav?
Yeah, see, thanks to ma'am for actually raising this such a pertinent point. And because of this, we also got a lot of insights and we also came to know about some really interesting answers which Swami had given. One of them is a series of discourses which Swami had given in the institute when the MBA started, and is compiled in a book form by name Man Management. In that, Swami quotes Kautilya's Arthashastra, Chanakya's Arthashastra book, and says this is the golden rule. He talks about the golden rule. I can just read out what exactly Swami has said. Swami said, Kautilya maintained that some part of the income should be saved to provide for bad times. He did not approve of the practice of debt financing. You know, what just now she has
exactly.
told. Exactly the same thing Swami has just reflected. He says, similarly, householders must not spend in excess of their incomes. Again, what she has told. The golden formula, it goes like this. 25% of income to be spent on personal needs. 25% given away in charity. 25% for public and social causes. 25% to be saved for bad times, old age, etc. The endeavor should be towards self-sufficiency. Businessmen must be devoted to their business even when profits are low. These days, people buy and sell shares to make personal gains. So, Swami has gone to that extent. And then, even Swami talks about the government. Government must maintain a buffer stock of food grains which would be useful in times of poor harvest. Value of man is greater than any amount of wealth. So, I think the golden rule which all of us have come to know today is 25% is to be saved as charity. Sorry, has to be given as charity. 25% to be saved for old age and uncertainties, as she has just mentioned. 25% of it for your personal needs. And 25% for social causes. So there is like a very clear distinction, which, and Swami actually endorses, and Swami actually in a way says that what Arthashastra, Kautilya's to Arthashastra is perfectly fine. So this is, I think, something which we all can follow, correct Ganesh?
This is like an ISI mark on charity.
Yeah, Swami just told this is how it is. And this is one thing, and when you talk about giving in charity or something, is it only wealth? Is what comes to my mind. A question which comes to my mind is it only wealth which we can give, or is it something else also? I have knowledge. I'm poor. I don't have so much of money. But can I share my knowledge? Can I share that? And will it be equivalent to sharing? Will it be given to charity? I think Swami says yes. Swami gives an emphatic yes.
Yes.
And in one discourse, Swami has told that I think we can quote that again. It's like an eye-opener for us.
Actually, when you talk of this, just going back to a few episodes prior to what we have done yesterday, we were talking about the Ashtalakshmis.
Yeah.
So, Lakshmi in various forms is there present in us.
Yes.
So, how we extend that Lakshmi to others.
Correct.
Is the challenge or the responsibility that has been given to us.
Yeah, because even remember we had mentioned last week only, I think Ganesh, that every talent is God. So talent itself is God. So talent is God, talent is your wealth. You can extend that talent, use that talent to help someone else. So that also becomes a charity.
Exactly.
It is not that always should be in money terms. Correct?
Swami has very clearly stated that service through righteous living. And this discourse, I quote from November 19th, 1990, there is no meaning in preaching spirituality to a starving person. Feed the hungry. Offer solace and encouragement to those in distress and despair. The educated should try to teach the illiterate and open the minds of the ignorant to wider vistas of knowledge. The educated persons may be doctors, lawyers, or businessmen. Doctors should be ready to render free medical service to the poor. Lawyers should be helpful to those who are in need of legal aid, but who cannot afford to pay for their services. Businessmen should be content to keep a reasonable income for their needs and utilize the surplus for charitable purposes. it is rare to find such persons. The wealthy should realize that money should be earned by righteous means and used for right purposes. True happiness can be got only from wealth acquired by fair means. Money got through exploitation of others will lead to suffering in one way or another.
Yes. So, this is one very important aspect. And anyway, we have come to the point of having about charity, about service. So, like, it actually comes with that the stanza which we were just discussing, that how to surrender to the mother. Like, how, what is the thing which we have to surrender to mother? So, one thing more is, I think the aptness, the time factor. Like, when it is needed the most, when it is actually something which is at hand, you have to actually do something. If you don't do it, then it loses its significance. So, Swami gives a very beautiful pun on social service. Swami says it should not be social. That is, it should not be slow. It should not be social also. It should not be a show. So, either it should not be slow. When you are supposed to do a...
When there is a need, you have to rise to the occasion and immediately do it.
Do it. And second is, when you do it, you know, you should not even show that you have done it. You know, and you know, there comes the trick, correct, Ganesh? Before getting into the trick, let's just say what Swami has told about Karna. I think this is from the discourse in 1967, October 13th. Swami actually narrates the story so beautifully. Can you just tell it?
Surely. The exact context is like, do good when you feel like doing it. You should not delay.
Yeah.
Procrastination is avoided, prohibited in terms of service.
Service, yes.
So, the explanation that Swami gives before telling the story is so beautiful. Your car is not meant to be kept as a showpiece in a glass garage. It is meant for the roads, for taking you fast and safe to the place where you want to go. So too, your body must serve the purpose of your journey. Journey to where? No, as it has been happening to the cemetery. You have nobler things to do than merely die. You must know your own reality before you die and merge in that supreme joy. Eat just enough to keep the body trim. Use the body to discover this reality, namely God. Sanctify every moment of your sojourn here with pious deeds and sacred thoughts. And then Swami tells, when Karna was applying oil on his head with a golden cup of oil held in his left hand, a Brahmin who passed by held out his hand and asked that cup be given to him. Here, take it, he said, and gave it to him with the left hand. The Brahmin was annoyed because no gift should be given or accepted with the left hand. But Karna explained, I am giving this to you the moment you asked for. I do not know whether I will be so disposed when I change the cup from the left hand to the right. Please pardon me. Do good when you feel like doing it. Do not delay. That is the message of the story.
So beautiful. So I think our, you know, Swami knows our minds are all monkey minds. So before any other thought comes and changes your disposition towards the seva, do it immediately, even it be the left hand. And there's one more beautiful experience of Chiranji Rao, sir. I think that also you should share.
Yes,
exactly.
It is not exactly about charity, but this is about postponing something which has been told to you or that has to be done immediately.
Yes. And in this case, a command of Swami. So,
yes.
Anything which you feel that you should do immediately, what should be your attitude to do?
Yes. So, this happened somewhere in the 90s when respected Chiranji Rao Garu sir was holding a very high position in the Central Trust. Swami had called him during the morning darshan and instructed him to, these were the words of Swami, go to the hostel, tell the warden that the boy should come for evening darshan. This was the sentence told by Swami. And if somebody has to implicitly obey Swami, we can learn this from Chiranjeev Rao sir. So then Chiranjeev Rao sir, without any further delay, he comes to the hostel, to the warden sir's room, And Warden sir is taken aback and he is surprised as to how Chiranjeev Rao sir had come. Then he requests, sir, you would have just given me one phone call and I would have come to you to take the message from you. Then he very, very firmly says, that is not what Swami wants from me. Swami told me, go to the hostel and tell the warden that boy should come for darshan in the evening.
Okay.
These were the words. And I have to come to obey Swami's command. As his job was done, sir was returning. And then he comes out of the hostel and warden sir rushes behind him to send him off. And then to his utter amazement, Chiranjeev Rao sir starts walking outside the hostel.
Going back to the mandir.
And then he is like wondering where is the car of Chiranjeev Rao sir. And then he goes to sir and asks him, sir, your car is not there. How can you go walking? And then sir so casually tells him, I have not come by car. Because when Swami told me to do this job, the car was on some other errand. And I could not wait for the car to come. Because if I cannot complete the job given by Swami at that particular moment, I do not know whether I will be living the next moment or not.
To do it, yes.
To do the job assigned to me by Swami. So if I die, then I would just remain with a person
incomplete. Job not complete. Told by Swami himself.
So he was very, very shocked at what sir told, and this is a beautiful message that conveys everything.
Yes.
Because postponing something which has to be done at that moment, yes, is not what Swami wants all of us to do.
But I think, Ganesh, you know, our listeners will be thinking, where are they going now? We're talking about Sri Suktam, we're talking about money. Now, talking about surrendering to mother. Now, they have gone to Karna Charity, then Chiranjeev Rao Garu. So, you know, just to keep this in perspective, the next line is, Alakshmir me nashatam tvamvrune. So, we should offer ourselves to the mother and pray to her and get that boon from her, that let the Alakshmi go. The Alakshmi is the one which is not Lakshmi. So, you know, Ganesh, the one which is not Lakshmi is not only wealth. So, all these things, procrastination, delaying things, and you know, one more interesting aspect which we'll touch upon next, where you have to do service, you have done service, you get the satisfaction that you have done service. Does it end there? Beautiful, very good. It doesn't end, it keeps lingering and say, I have done service, some recognition. There also Lakshmi comes. So, you know, Swami is very, very particular about all these things.
It's a very thin line that goes between satisfaction and recognition.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I have a very, you know, I can say a bitter experience which is very sweet now when I remember and recollect now. So, you know, listeners, what we are trying to now convey is that Lakshmi is not only not having physical wealth. So, all these negative traits which we have, all these also represent Alakshmi.
Which take you away from God.
God, yeah.
Is Alakshmi.
So, in this particular example which you gave of Chiranjeev Rao Garu, that alacrity, that that moment of samayaspurti, we call it, immediately, when Swami told, in that spur of moment, do it, without even a delay, and then how Karna did. So, all these things show that we are on the right path.
Yes.
We are not
straying away from the...
And we are not being dictated by our negative traits of, you know, tamasic qualities of delaying and procrastinating or not doing things with the correct motivation. So, all these things are not there in us. So, this is again something which shows that we are having God's grace and we are going away from Alakshmi. So, like how our listener, dear listener has just mentioned that when we do charity, we get satisfaction. So, a small caveat I want to put here is that, satisfaction is really good. Because we all feel so nice when we see a joy in someone's face when we give something or do any act of service, any act of kindness, any kind words, anything which you do, and it gives solace to them, succor to them, and they feel happy. They get alleviated. It's so beautiful. But does it just give me happiness and it ends there, or I start thinking I've done something good? have done something good, and it keeps repeating in your mind more and more, you are inviting problems.
Yes.
So this is one experience which I had in a, like, you know, the hard way, learning the hard way. But when Swami gives a lesson the hard way, it's always there for life, you know. So what happens once, one of my juniors, he was, you know, studying. I just passed out of my MBA, and then convocation was around the corner. It was around 10th or 12th of November. So at that time, this brother of mine who was studying with us, his junior 2 years, his mother had contracted cancer, had a cancer on the tongue. So he got it operated. It was in Bangalore, Kidwai Hospital, I think. So from there he called me on our landline, on our hostel landline. This is 2001. And he told, see, his parents, his father and his brothers and all, they stayed in Asansol, in West Bengal. So he wanted me to immediately come and help him because he is alone. So I was like, this is a lifetime opportunity to receive, a degree from Swami and convocation. But fine, I thought it's 10th or 12th, so I probably might come back. So I went immediately. And like it was quite helpful. His mother was recuperating from the surgery and then doing all the errands, small errands, taking care of her and sleeping, taking turns and sleeping in the night and getting things from the market, all these things. So it's a very nice 5-6 days, probably a 1 week of seva. And I felt very nice that, you know, I did a lot of,
It should have ended there.
Yes, there's the problem comes. And you know what, Swami always creates situations where he tests you. You know that the nail has been hit, whether it's really strong or not, he'll try to pull it, shake, push it and shake and check. So after the whole full 7 days were over, I was just about to leave, and his mother, auntie, was on her legs, and she was perfectly fine and she was walking also. She came to the railway station to see me off. There was a train from Bangalore to Parthi and I was boarding the train. With tears in her eyes, she said, you're like my son, you know, the amount of seva you did, it was so amazing. I'm really touched, it's overwhelming. But there was the satisfaction that I've done a lot of service, but probably that this particular gesture of auntie, it actually, I can say aggravated. Not multiplied it, aggravated it. Because this, why actually aggravated, I'll tell you exactly why. So I was like, when she told me, I was really touched, no? With tears in her eyes, you're my son and you did so much of seva and all that. So on the way back in the train, I was like thinking, wow, yeah, that's so much of nice seva. You know, this is a time of convocation and so important in a person's life, in a student's life, in Swami's institution. And I know, yeah, I came back on 21st, I think 21st, just for convocation. 2 days before convocation, I was there in Parthi. So Swami took care so nicely, gave me a chance to do seva. And then I had the opportunity to do seva. I became a very special instrument in Swami's hand.
More bigger than the service.
Swami's instrument and all that. So I went to Mandir and then, you know, I was sitting in Mandir and it was one of those, somewhere in the crowd, you know, I was there somewhere. You know, 20th and 21st birthdays are like, you know, huge crowds used to come. I was sitting somewhere in the crowd and then Swami came and I had a thought, you know, Swami comes and then pats on my cheek and says, wow, good boy, did such nice service, I'm very happy with you. You know, monkey mind, it keeps going on and on. And then, Swami always gives a little bit fuel in the fire, you know, what he'll do. He came, I was sitting somewhere in the middle, in a big group of students, and then, you know, Swami, what he'll do, suddenly, out of the uncertainty, he'll just come and say, stand at one place and say, okay, now make a path. So he just came and stood in front of my line. I was somewhere the 10th or 12th boy, somewhere in that. He just stands there and says, make path. And immediately the path is made and I'm the 1.1. Like I'm just on the first person in that line. Wow, I feel like this is becoming dream come true. Swami is going to come and he's going to just recognize me and, you know, give me a pat, a good boy, whatever. And a path namaskar. You never know what is going to happen. I was very, very
overjoyed.
And that hopes were like, you know, going sky high. Swami comes, walks and we saw all his loving smile. And then he comes to the person two next to me on my left side. And then he blesses that boy. And then suddenly what happens, I don't know. He takes a 180 degree turn and goes to the other side. I was like shocked what happened. Then he probably counts 1, 2, 3, 4 boys from there. And then takes one more 180 return, comes back this side, and two boys next to me, he starts again blessing people, taking letters, giving Pad Namaskar. So I was like, everything, all those high spirits, all that joy, all that, you know, that anticipation of getting recognition from Swami, just sank.
So even that satisfaction is gone now.
Everything is gone. You know, and... Add to the injury, the boys next to me, something wrong with this person. Swami suddenly came and
rubbing salt on the wound.
What is this? Swami was so lovingly coming. He said, why suddenly turned that side? Something wrong with this person here. Why he's not, just went off. They looked at me like that. I was like, you know, I was like shocked. I was numb actually. There was no emotions. I was like, what is happening? Swami, you came. You created a situation, you did everything. One small recognition, one good boy, one pat or one look at least. A Pad Namaskar, that also I didn't get now because he went to other side. So it was like very bad. I was very angry, you know. I was very angry. I was very annoyed with Swami. I was like cursing. What is this happening here? So, you know, but yeah, after all that, probably 5-10 minutes when after that full, the barrage of emotions, na, the torrent of emotions just go off, that when you start thinking, things become little more cool and then things start sinking in. Mm. That thing was still lingering in my mind that Swami didn't recognize me and all that. And later on, I think Swami always gives that sankalpa. You take a book or some discourse or something and you read. Then there, I remember one statement where it says, what actually is seva?
Mm.
Seva is something which... makes you feel that you are not the one who's doing the seva. You know, that's the crux of everything.
Mm.
So probably that hit like a thunderbolt to me, and then what Swami gave, that whole treatment was only for that. Mm. You know, you have not done the seva. You went and did, you had satisfaction, and it should end there.
Mm.
After that, you asking for, Swami will pat me, Swami will say, talk to me, Swami will give Pad Namaskar, say, good boy. Probably all that is expectation where you feel that you are the doer. You are the one who is doing. You know what? Swami wants to teach you the lesson the hard way. He'll always do it this way. You know, that's the best thing to do. So now, after that, when I remember that incident, it is so sweet now that, you know, he gave me that hard lesson that when you do seva, you do it with the feeling that I am not the doer. And you know, even just to add to this, when we used to have Gram Seva, Swami used to personally guide us, make. So he had given us one mantra. So whenever you go for Gram Seva, whenever you go from door to door, Swami told, whenever you give them the prasadam. Of Pulihara and the Laddu and whatever, the close prasadam, should say, Om Sri Satchidanandaya Namaha. Means, I'm giving it to Satchidananda Swarupa, I'm giving it to God Himself. So when you have a feeling that you're giving it to God Himself, where is the question of I giving and He taking it? He is giving, He is taking.
Exactly. So, I think to continue from where you have left, there is a beautiful thing that Swami explains in one of his discourses, and I quote, never consider someone a beggar and ill-treat him.
Mm.
Extend help to those who are in distress. Develop love for God and fear of sin. Just because someone approaches you for help, do not consider them to be weak and inferior. Do not humiliate them. Your innate divinity will manifest before you when you develop love and respect towards all. Treat everybody as your brothers and sisters. Never consider anybody a beggar. It is a great mistake to think that you are the giver and someone else is the beneficiary.
So beautiful. No? So
it is like you are serving yourself.
Yes, you are serving yourself. Correct. So like probably taking this thought ahead about Alakshmi, so Alakshmi is like, with all due respects to what our ma'am has told, we just thought we'll just extend it a little more, that telling that, yeah, this is something which is very important again. When we do something, we should have the feeling that we do it for ourselves or we are doing it for God. So there is no thing that I am doing it at all. So it should stop with satisfaction, being happy with it, being in good spirit, rather than asking, okay, I did it, let me get recognition.
And one more thing to the lesson which we can take back home from the previous episode about the prasadam that Swami had given to the Brahmin to conduct his son's Upanayanam.
Mm.
Swami gives him that 2000 rupees with a feeling that he needs it. Yes. And he is giving it. It is not that I am giving him so that he is happy.
Yeah.
It is his need and he gives it.
Correct.
And the money comes back to him. So the point of we being worried what will happen to us is also taken care of.
Correct.
So I think Swami, it is purely explaining to us that how should you give.
Correct.
So I think this makes it very much clear to all of us.
Yeah, and then Ganesh, I think taking the next part, Alakshmir me nashitam tam vrune. So, you know, we had told just now about Alakshmi is, one is not having wealth.
Mm.
Second is all these impediments which stop you from doing good. And the third one is like, you know, anything, any habit which we have, anything which we have, which is hampering our spiritual progress and probably is not giving us that opportunity to be closer to God. So that's again one very interesting thing which if we pray to Swami, or pray to Mother, like here in our case both are same, definitely we'll get respite, we'll get solution to the problem. You know, one of the experiences which you want to, I think exactly. you can share that. To start our, with about Alakshmi.
Dear Mallikeshwaran sir, who had previously narrated the incident of Swami giving that prasadam to the Brahmin, Mallikeshwaran sir's father himself had this experience of Swami making him get rid of the bad habits that he had got. And the process will tell us how when you surrender at the feet of Mother, how she takes care that the Alakshmi will go away from you. And this is a very breathtaking experience that sir shares. So I think we should directly listen to Mallikeshwaran sir.
Most humble pranams to the one who is described as Sugyana Markadarshakaya Namaha. That's what we attribute, one of the Namavali to him. The most beautiful aspect of this Sugyana Markadarshakaya Namaha, he is not only a Markadarshi, but he'll ensure that he takes you and he gives all the strength for you to go to that Sugyana Markadarshakaya. He is the one who does everything for us. And with one wonderful experience of mine, I wanted to narrate to you how personally he takes care. Also, with only one stone, when Swami hits, not two mangoes, 10 mangoes comes. With each and every experience, if you see the multi-dimension in that, it will show it is not only that particular experience, but it teaches us so many things for us. My father had three great qualities. He was Agnihotri. You know what Agnihotri means. And also he is a very close follower of Yudhishthira. And wherever Navina Ashwamedha Yagnam used to be performed, he used to visit regularly. You may wonder, in Kali Yuga, where is Ashwamedha Yagna? How he can be a follower of Yudhishthira, all that? Let me tell you. Agnihotri. Agnihotri is nothing but from morning, he'll start with one cigarette and he'll never use a matchstick because that cigarette will go to the second, third, fourth, believe me, 100 to 120 cigarettes per day he'll smoke. That too, the brand was Will's Filter Tip King Size. We have different sizes in cigarette and king size is supposed to be the biggest. So about 120 cigarettes he used to smoke. Coming to following Yudhishthira, gambling, cards. So that time it was dice, in Kali Yuga it is playing with money, the cards. The third thing, Ashwamedha Yagna is nothing but horse racing. You know, horse racing was very popular at that time. Chennai, quite a few places you had in Ooty, you had in Bangalore. So wherever it was done, my father used to visit all the places. And in all three, plenty of money was lost. You may ask why you are comparing your father to, as follower of Yudhishthira, not as Shakuni. One thing, he is my father. And the second thing is, he is the one who had brought the entire family to Swami. But for him, we wouldn't have known Swami. And the faith what he had put in all the children's heart only make us, you know, it makes our bond with Swami stronger. Of course, without Swami Sankalpa, you can't think of him. But he is also a Margadarshi for us. He had only seen Swami and then he had told very clearly that he is the Divine Lord himself. And naturally, Yudhishthira's follower only can say about the Divine Lord, not Shakuni. Now, coming to the story, I was a Vrindavan student. And I don't remember the exact date, in 1978, if I'm correct, or 1977. We had lot of close contact with Swami. Boys can give letters to Swami whenever they want. We'll be standing somewhere near Swami's dining hall, little outside. Swami will come and pick the letter. He'll talk to us, all those things. Often Swami says that without a sankalpa, no one can come. I said, no, with one stone, how many mangoes will come down? When I finish the narration of all this, I'll tell you one by one how many mangoes we got by one such wonderful experience. The two divine mangoes full of juicy, and whenever Swami gives mangoes, he gives the best mangoes. But spiritual mangoes are also far, 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 far more tastier than the real mangoes. But whatever he gives, it is tastier. No doubt about that. So it was one Tuesday at about 4:45. Suddenly a thought came to my mind that father was continued to, he was having all these three good habits, I should say, because that only led us a little more closer and we got so much of experience out of only one small incident of this. So I was standing, I just thought I'll write a letter to Swami telling that I just wrote a letter with only one pranam, Swami, my father is smoking about 120 cigarettes per day, Swami should only save him. I didn't do any other thing, I didn't write any other thing. I was standing, Swami came out of his dining hall. He saw me, Emira, he said, and then he took the letter. And in front of me, he read the letter. After reading the letter, he just stared at me. It made me think that, no, Swami didn't like me giving that letter to him because I have complained about my father. But he just stared and then went off. He didn't tell anything. He just stared and then went off. I said, okay, Swami didn't like, what can I do? We don't have anybody else other than Swami. I have written only about this smoking habit, this Agnihotri habit of my father. It was Tuesday, and Wednesday morning I saw my father standing in Vrindavan at 6 o'clock. During those times, 1976-77, not so many trains, only there were three trains, Chennai Mail, Vrindavan Express, and one Chennai passenger. And getting a ticket will be, very difficult. You have to book well in advance. Not much of buses to come from this. And my father will never travel in bus because he likes comfort. And he's such a meticulous planner. Before he could travel to any place, he'll book everything 1 month before. And naturally, as a son who's studying in Vrindavan hostel, he'll tell me that he's coming. Nothing, no information as such. Next day, he was standing there at Vrindavan at 6:30. Without my sankalpa, no one can come. So I asked him, why did you come? You know the mother's love. If somebody comes, she'll tell, I'll send you laddu, you want this, all that, nothing, no package. It was more of a disappointment of seeing a father without anything than seeing him. So he came, I said, hey, what happened? He said, from 4:30 yesterday, I had a very strong urge to come and see Swami. So I came to the railway station, because you cannot book the ticket on the same day even those times. I came, I told the TTR that I want to visit Whitefield. He said, come sir, I'll give you a seat. So he gave a seat, so my journey was comfortable. I don't know why I had come. See, that time we had a privilege, the student's privilege you can call. The parents of the students can stand near the entrance of Vrindavan. It's not Trai Vrindavan, old bungalow. We have the sweetest memory of old bungalow. In fact, those batch of boys will not like Trai Vrindavan because old bungalow had so much of wealth of experience, joy, whatever you want to name it. So Swami came out at about 8:30. I knew that there is something going to happen. As students, we can also stand next to father. Physically, Swami knows my father very well because he has come quite a few times. And it is his abundant grace that he knew my father also. So I safely stood just far away from my father. So Swami came slowly to him. And Swami always used to talk to him in Tamil. And in his beautiful Tamil, he said in a very harsh tone, Eppa vandachu. He said, Swami, today morning only I came. All these things I could hear from the lip movement. I was standing quite far. So Swami took two steps and then came back, started blasting my father. The thing what I wrote to Swami is only about the smoking habit. But Swami said, see, you fellow, you smoke a lot of cigarettes, you go to races, you play cards. The most important thing is coming now. He said, if you don't leave these three bad habits, I'll not talk to you, I'll not let you talk to me. I'll not see you, I'll ensure that you don't see me. Why? I'll ensure that you don't even think of me. This can be told only by the Divine Lord and nobody else. If I tell Mr. Ganesh is sitting in front of me, hey Ganesh, I'll ensure that you don't think of me, next moment he'll be thinking of me only. But whereas with Swami, see, Swami says now without a sankalpa, no one can think of him. What a wonderful lesson. Just he walked off. All these things I came to know after Swami went inside. I asked Father, see, Swami's way of blasting is also so beautiful. In public, when he blasts, you see, my life is my message. Each and every action, this is his message. When he blasts, only the person who's getting the blasting will know that he is getting blasted. And to other fellows, he'll be smiling joyfully. That's how Swami is. Nobody knows that he is blasting one particular individual outside in public. So, when I went and asked my father what happened, he said, see, Swami told me all these three things. But leaving two things is not a problem. I'll not play cards again. I'll not go to the races. But smoking habit, I can't leave. So, you should ask Swami. Swami surely will give you a chance when you go inside. He'll ask, what did your father say? That time, tell Swami, Swami should only give energy for smoking cigarette. I went inside. His good fortune, my good fortune, Swami has Yemirami Nana Yem Jipper. I said, Swami, Swami ne energy, iyala, these are the same word, iyala ni chepparu Swami. Swami's words, though casually he speaks so many things, it has got lot of inner significance. And he wanted to give one more mango in that. Very casually, pora pora, atom of energy. Very casually, these children will, like that, no, similar way, pora po, atom of energy, he said, he went up. So, and then I was inside only. All these things took about 1.5 hours. Then when I came out, I saw my father crying like anything. So I thought that this man would have gone out. Because see, even if you are a student's father, you have to wait for Swami's darshan. It may take 2 hours, 3 hours. Because he is not predictable, no Swami. So normally his habit would be, when one Swami gives darshan and then goes inside, he'll rush outside to smoke a cigarette. Because 2 hours gap is too long. Maybe a yuga for him. So he goes outside. But Swami had told that I should not speak. See, our mind, no, very clever mind, and my father is a very intelligent person. So when he went to the shop, he saw more number of people smoking that day specially. So, no, the tapam for smoking was too much for him, but Swami had told that he should not speak. So he had a brain wave. See, Swami told me that I should not smoke, but I can always be a passive smoker. So he went near a fellow who was smoking cigarette, a decent fellow. And then he started the conversation because, no, it's very easy to start conversation along with side utils. Hi, Ram sir, I have come from Chennai. Like that, no, you start. So my father was praying literally inside that fellow should let out the smoke. Oh, are you coming? That fellow was not leaving the smoke at all. Oh, you are coming from Chennai. You are Swami's devotee. Your son is studying, but that fellow is not letting out the smoke. So my father was literally praying to Swami, Swami, ensure that fellow lives. See, for everything, we have to depend only on Swami, whether it is good or bad for everything. So that fellow left the smoke outside. Believe me, a person who had smoked 120 cigarettes per day just could not bear the spell of tobacco. He ran away from that place. He came inside Vrindavan, started crying, thinking of the Swami's glory. So I came out, I saw him crying. My father is a very egotic fellow. He'll never cry, he'll never show his emotion. So I was really worried. Then my mind went in a different direction. Oh, this fellow would have gone out and then smoked. So he is feeling guilty. Then I cursed myself for writing this to Swami because future whenever Swami banks me, he'll tell, you will not listen, your father will not listen, you full family is like that, all that. Say, we say, no, the elephant putting mud on their head. See, I have done the same thing. That's what I was thinking actually. Then I asked him, why are you crying? He said, tell me what Swami told. Then no, one brainwave came to my mind. I said, see fellow, for 17 years you have been torturing me by advising. So I'll start advising you. I said, okay, father, you can't leave cigarette immediately. You have smoked, I know. Little by little you reduce. Swami will give strength. He said, shut up and tell me what Swami told. So I told him, pour up atom bomb energy. Then again he started crying more and more. I was really worried. I said, please tell me. Again he asked, what did Swami tell? Swami said, pour up atom bomb energy. Then he said, fool, listen to this. I went outside and all the story he repeated. I want to be a passive smoker. I just could not bear the smell of tobacco. Porapo, atom bomb energy. What is atom bomb? Anu. We say Anu, no? And we describe Swami as Anu Ranyan Mahato Mahiyan. His energy is enough to stop a fellow who is smoking 120 cigarettes even to be a passive smoker. That is the power of Swami's words. And I never wrote to Swami about this horse racing and playing cards. He is Sarvantaryami. He knows when to stop. Everything, all three in one stone. That is, all bad habits gone in one stone. But what are the other lessons that we have learned from that? Without my sankalpa, no one can come to me. Fellows, if you are thinking of me today, it is not you are thinking of me. It is I who is making you think of me. I'll just add one more small story in this. One of Swami's friend, Swami's school day friend, had come. He has attained a very good position after many years. Swami saw him and then called him for interview. So that man asked Swami, Swami had become, I won't say the word popular. He himself had made known to so many people that he is divine incarnate. Because without Swami's sankalpa, no one can know him. He said, do you think of me, Swami? Because you are so busy with so many things. Swami told him, hey, Pichiwada, this is the word I believe Swami used. Just because I am thinking of you, I am making you think of me. If I don't think of you, you can't think of me. So we are all really fortunate that Swami has thought of us. That is the reason why we are thinking of him. So many things. Without a sankalpa, no one can come. And the smallest casual words, pour up atom bomb. Like that Swami had told so many things, I think we can write a book only on that, the casual things and the casual remark and how nicely it had, after few days only we could realize. We don't realize the significance of all his words. So all these things, with one this thing, without my sankalpa, no one can come. My word, my will, if I utter a casual word also, it will come true. All those things with one small such wonderful incident, till his death, believe me, if somebody else smoke also, my father will tell, sir, I am not able to bear this smell. Will you go out and then smoke? A person who had smoked 120, I'll tell you, Will's filter tip, king size, it is bigger cigarette than the normal one. Normal one, some other size and king size. So many things are there in cigarette. I had the habit of only getting it and then giving it to him when I was in thing. To add one more story, the first talk, Swami asked me that time only, your father smoke, no? I said, yes, Swami. Who buys cigarette for him? Swami, I only used to go and get it. He said, now if your father asks you, will you go and get it? I said, Swami is my father. I have to get it. He said, no, you tell your father that you will not get. See, each and everything is a lesson for us and how strong we should be in telling the people that, no, we will not do anything which Swami doesn't like. So slowly, surely Swami will bless all of us in day when time comes so that we will be moved out of all these bad habits, physical bad habits. That had saved so many things. Money, it has saved wife's, that is family's tension, because health issue it is. All those things Swami had done with only one small word, porapo atom bomb energy. Sai Ram.
So I think Bhargav, listening to Mallikeshwaran sir's father's experience, mm-hmm. we are coming to a conclusion that coming and surrendering to the lotus feet of mother itself can happen only by the grace of mother.
Yes.
So, in his father's case, even the thought of thinking about Swami is only his grace.
Correct.
He has the complete control of our minds. I am reminded of just one incident. I think we can close with this. When our Professor Nanjundaya sir, mm-hmm. who was our former controller of examinations, on one occasion, when Swami asked Nanjundaya sir, about the explanation of what are the instruments or the weapons that Lord Vishnu has in his hands.
Mm.
Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma.
Mm.
They all give the explanation of Shankha, Chakra and Gada. When it comes to the lotus, they are not able to explain exactly what is the meaning of the Lord holding the lotus. And then Swami tells that the explanation of all other three are same. But about the lotus, it's something different. And Swami continues, see, your mind is like that lotus. Mm. It is always there in my hands, under my control.
Oh, beautiful.
And then, your hearts are there in my hands. And then one boy asks, Swami, then why don't you give us the blessing that every thought is good? If the lotus of our heart is in your hands, why don't you always give us good thoughts? And Swami acknowledges that question, saying, yes, that can be done. But first of all, you should give your mind to me.
Okay.
So, Alakshmirme Nashyatam So the aspect of surrendering comes there. The circle gets complete.
Completed, yes. So beautiful.
So our willingness to offer our mind to God, and then Swami taking care of it completely and getting us rid of all these traits of Alakshmi are itself His grace. So I think with these few words, we shall bring this episode to a close. And again, we please request the listeners to do write their feedback and their thoughts and share whatever views they have regarding all these aspects that we are covering to listener@ssmediacenter.org or WhatsApp it to 9393-258-258. So with a few words and with a prayer to Swami that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall conclude today's episode with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram.
यदक्षर पद भ्रष्टम मात्राहीनम तु यद भवेत तत्सर्वं क्षम्यतां देवा नारायण नमोस्तुते विसर्ग बिंदु मात्राणि पद पादाक्षराणि च न्यूनानि च अतिरिक्तानि क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अपराध सहस्राणि क्रियन्ते हर्निशन्मया दासोऽयम् इति मां मत्वा क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्यभावेन रक्ष रक्ष सा ईश्वरा हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्री साईश्वरार्पणमस्तु.
From a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jhari. Stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.